Let me see if this is doing it. Okay, it's doing it. Hey, this actually is working. I'm not going to take any chances. So we're starting the podcast now, people. This is the second Parker and the Man 2017 reunion podcast. This time it's the summer edition.
In full effect.
To my left, from the ESPN 1100 and Lotus Properties here in Las Vegas, your host of Rebel Extra. You hear him, you love him, you know him, you can't live without him. Bernie Fratto. If there was an applause button, I'd hit it.
Well, good to be here. And actually, summer doesn't start till June 21st. Just saying. Although the wind chill factor here today in Sin City is about 109.
Except this is one of those things, if you wanted to listen to this all the way through September, you could. That's kind of a summer deal.
Rob, you know, we're here with the great Rob Parker.
I was going to do a better intro than that.
Well, all I wanted to say was this. He walked out and felt that wall of heat. I don't want to say it's hot outside, but I saw two fire hydrants fighting over a dog.
Is that right? And with the EDC kids in town, it's going to get even hotter. All right, to my right, you know him from now. I don't know if I can get all this in.
Oh,
all right, Fox Sports 1, Fox Sports Radio. You can hear him at various times. It's basically weekends and all. You know, it's just every, just tune in every day. In Los Angeles on AM 570, filling in for former Lions quarterback Rodney Pete with Fred, great Fred Rogan. Rogan's Heroes. Here he is, ladies and gentlemen, Rick Barry's bowling partner, and also Rick Barry's, he'll be on the next season of Survivor as his partner, or either that or The Amazing Race, Robert Lee Parker Jr.
How about Afraid and Naked? Is that the one? Should we be on that show?
Naked and Afraid.
Naked and Afraid.
If you look closely over in the south end of the park, Rick Barry's in the buffet line.
Is that right?
Yeah, he's eating crow right about now.
Is he eating crow?
Very good, Bernie. Very good.
And I don't mean Cheryl Crow.
Well, I mean, let's do an update as to what everybody's doing. Bernie, start with you.
Introduce yourself.
Oh, yeah, my name's Mark. Welcome to the show. My name's Mark. Welcome to the podcast.
I know, you got
it. My name's Mark. Welcome to the show. Mark the Man Wilson. That is here for Hemony Hominy Who. Bibbidi Bobbidi.
Yeah.
We love that you're still the man after all these years.
It's on my cards. I can't get rid of it. It's on my business cards and everything.
You are the man. Parker the Man. The legendary Parker the Man in the time capsule.
And can I say this? Mark, I always say this, brother. The name of the show, we needed Mark to be the man to make the show name. And he just was selfless, right? Who would want to not have their name on the show? But Mark loved the name of it when we finally decided on it and was like, let's do it. I'm good with it.
Well,
and not put his name on. I always admired that.
Well, I always said you can just replace the man. Anybody can be the man.
No, that's not. Look,
I didn't think it would really work.
That's a little, here's a little
Morning trick. Monsters.
Morning Monsters is what Rob wanted it to be.
You couldn't find Yvonne DiCarlo to do the. All right, so just set the record straight, just a little something for you trivia buffs. The last two coaches to win championships for the Lions were Parker and Wilson.
That's right, Buddy Parker and George Wilson.
That's right.
Very good. I didn't even think about that.
With the Dennis Menace George Wilson. That's a conversation for a different.
Hey, Mr. Wilson.
Hey, by the way, we are in Las Vegas. Rob is kind enough to have come into town, and we're at the fabulous South Point having a little buffet with the peeps. So if you hear the ambient sound in the background, you'll know that. That's where we are.
And also know that Mark Wilson picked up the tab tonight. Very nice.
Very nice. Thank
we
you.
Love that, Mark. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Daddy. Thank you, Mammy.
So as Austin Powers would say, allow myself to introduce myself. My name is Bernie Fratto. Just happy to hang out with these guys. I've been on the radio since November of 94. Been in Las Vegas since.
View from the cheap seats in Ann Arbor. Don't forget it.
My first show. That I actually hosted.
Was that with Doug Carr?
No, well, I actually worked
Doug Carr.
Doug gave me a break, got my first credential with the Tigers in 95, covering baseball while he was at WTK. But anyway, fast forward, and of course, we just, all the years I cherish the Detroit Lions broadcast with you guys, and I always say to myself, think about it. In Detroit, the amazing run, the All-Star game, the Super Bowl, the NBA Finals, the World Series, three Stanley Cups. Right on down the line, it was an amazing decade, and for about a good 6-7 years of it, I was with you guys, Parker and the Man.
When did you start with us? What year was that?
2003, officially.
So this is 14 years,
wow.
People.
And I always say this story, too, and I'm not trying to make Mark blush, but when we first started talking, you know, Bernie did a show with me, Mark, you were off, And Terry, the program director, Terry Lieberman, listened, and he liked Bernie, and he said, I wanted to give Bernie, get him on and whatever. And then you did a show with Mark, right? I think I was off or something. And then right away after that, Mark was like really cool, and we didn't want to have a... Remember that, Mark?
I brought a couple other guys in, and I wasn't thrilled with them.
We didn't want to have a cavalcade of people filling in.
Good word.
Right?
Well, it's your word, cavalcade.
So let's go back. I first met Rob in the dugout at the old Tiger Stadium in 1995, first year I had a credential. And we had a great, lively baseball conversation about the Seattle Mariners and their pitching staff that year. They had an epic regular season, and Rob said, they don't have power pitching, they're not built for the playoffs, they're getting beat. And I said, oh, come on, man. He turned out to be right.
The Yankees beat them that year.
Interesting, and about 5-6 years later, we got into a spirited debate as to whether or not Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame. And I said yes, and I gave about 5 or 6 reasons. He said no. We got into a spirited debate, and Rob says, we should do this on the air one day. True to his word, one day I'm driving down 10 Mile, right by the old Farmer Jack's. You're scoring at home, and I hope you are. The bottom line is, he says, look, come on in. Can you come in? We did it, and the rest is history. We argued about whether or not Pete Rose should be in.
And we could go right now and go see Pete. Well, he's probably off right now. It's already 6:30. We could go see Pete at the...
Panorama Towers. He lives about 5 minutes.
At his card table over at MGM, signing the autographs at Art of Music.
Any flat item for $75.
Any flat item, Pete will sign it. No, well, Gordy's passed. So I think Pete Rose picked up the ball literally and ran with it.
Now he's signing Gordie Howe puck.
He's signing Gordie Howe's name. That's what Pete does for his second job. He signs Gordie Howe's name. Any flat item, $75. No ups, no extras. That's the old Earl Shine.
But this week you get $3 of five. Try that again in English. You get $5 of free bodywork, which would usually probably fix what Earl screwed up while he was painting your car.
Well, let's get to the big timer. I mean, we're just small potatoes now. We're just a couple of specks on the jabronis, specks on the carpet. You know, compared to the big shooter over here. I mean, my God, one day he's got 6 million views from Fofote and LeBron.
No, LeBron ruined the NBA. Now, I'm very proud of this. You know what the number is right now?
7 million?
6.8 million.
Almost 7 million hits.
That's how many hits on Facebook. Bernie, you didn't even know that, did you?
No. 6.8. That was the LeBron ruined the NBA thing.
Yep. LeBron ruined the NBA, and this was right before the NBA Finals. But it took off. I mean, it struck a nerve. I think even people who are big LeBron fans, I think, Mark, I made a compelling argument that you had to, like, at least listen to it. You know, it was compelling enough.
Your declaration of independence theory.
The LeBron was the author of it.
Got a lot of, well, let's face it, it got a lot of traction. Now, I don't agree for various reasons. And by the way, if the NBA is ruined, you couldn't have had all-time high ratings in the finals. And there's more money now in the game than ever. Your point is duly noted. We talked about this in the car on the way over. LeBron's become a polarizing figure. There's always been villain teams going back to the 27 Yankees. And in the decade of the 80s, either the Celtics or the Lakers were in the finals every year. And the two faced off in 84.
Yeah, but here's my argument, my counter to you. It's not about the NBA's always had a parity problem. There's no doubt about it. Okay, I'm with you.
We always say this. 25 teams have no shot going in every year.
But now, Mark, you know what it is? Now, instead of it being 25 with no shot, there's only two teams that have a shot. Now, that's where we are. And we're looking at the first time. This league's been around, what, 75 years? Right? First time, the same three teams. Not even during what you're talking about, the Lakers and Celtics, it never happened. The same two teams in the NBA Finals 3 years in a row, and we're going on how many? Six. It'll wind up being like six. We've never seen this. And this is what I'm saying when I talk about him ruining the league and altering the structure and the balance in the NBA.
I think the case is made in this. I'm going to waffle here for a minute.
No, Stoney, don't do it.
Oh, see, now you got to bring him in. Give me some syrup for my waffle. Oh, you already
don't
got butter.
Waffle, Mark. Pick a side.
No, here's the thing, though. Well, this would be the side, and this is pretty damning, then. I think since LeBron James has been in this league, and it's a long time now.
14 years.
14 years. That's enough where you can do some research and take a quick look at something. And I've seen some research on this. It's not official enough for me to quote anybody, per se, but fewer young people are engaged in this league's NBA than ever before. The millennials, if you will, The young kids, 25, 20, they're not engaged in this. This league has gotten older as a fan base, which I guess is okay, but eventually you're going to run out of those people, and the young people have not, they're not finding it, because in other cities, they don't want LeBron to be the hero. They want their guy to be. And these teams are out of it. Every second minute of the league playoffs, these guys aren't around. Toronto. And, you know, San Antonio ain't going anywhere but down now. So you can forget about them as a juggernaut for the last 15
and that's
years.
That's why I always said it was 2.5 teams. But even the Spurs, I don't even give them a half. They don't have a shot. The way that they're right now, the way it's set up, they're not going to win.
You know what I tweeted out? You know what I tweeted out, though? As soon as Golden State won, you know what I tweeted out? I said, the Pistons are playing in the same league as this. They're playing a game we're not familiar with.
That's a great way of looking at it. Are they in this league? They're not even in this league.
They're not even in the thing.
So, it's been established there's a serious imbalance problem. Is it a problem? Is it necessarily a problem? Yeah, the Oakland A's go to 3 straight World Series in the early 70s.
Baseball can handle that better.
Why?
Because I think the nature of the game.
But you ready for this? Here we go, Bernie. You're talking about Oakland, the last National League team to win back-to-back World Series. The 75-76 Cincinnati Reds. The last team, period, to repeat the 1999-2000 Yankees. We're talking about almost 20 years have gone by. So people don't feel like they're out of it, like they got no shot.
You just had the Pittsburgh Penguins repeat, the last team to do that 20 years ago, the Detroit Red Wings. Are we grabbing at straws? Are we splitting hairs here? Let's take a look. Let's go back to LeBron James. He comes into the league in 2003, straight out of St. Vincent, St. Mary's, with an incredible amount of fanfare. He lived up to the hype. 8 finals in 14 years. He left Cleveland in the prime of his career, but he fulfilled his contract. He goes to Miami, 4 straight finals, 2 titles. Goes back to his hometown out of guilt. 3 straight finals, 1 title. My God, how many titles did Ted Williams win?
No, you're right about that, Bernie, but that's not...
That brings us to Fofolk.
Right.
Because fulfilled is 2 F's, as is finals failure. So now the second part of the Rob Parker trilogy here in his time since he's been at Fox is creating, and I started the hashtag and went and looked, because when you first told me, I hashtagged Fofolk, and now it's taken off as a hashtag. So if you go all the way down the thing, you'll see mine was the first. Yes. Well, ours, the Parker Nemanja.
Right. I started, you know, first with the Lote. Remember, for Tom Brady.
Yeah, of all time.
The luckiest of all time. And that was that people got a kick out of the Lote. And in this one, I was looking, and the only reason why it works, and I call him the Fofolk.
Fofolk. I love the Fofolk.
Fofoat. Finals failure of all time is because now with this loss, Bernie, he is of all the guys who have won an MVP, he has the most finals losses of any former MVP in the history of
the NBA. Jerry West?
No, but Jerry West
lost 8 times in the finals.
He was 1-8, yeah. And Elgin Baylor was Elgin Baylor 0-7.
He was silhouette for the NBA.
Yeah, but he was never considered the greatest player of all time. Neither one of those guys.
In fairness, full disclosure. In the 22 years I've known you, you've never wavered. It's a bottom-line business, okay? You're not down with the Buffalo Bills getting there 4 times, even though they're a historic team. What's Eddie Murray's record?
0-1. He was 0-1 in his career.
Lions kicker, Eddie Murray.
Am I right?
He missed the one he had to hit in San Francisco.
Mark, he made all of the other ones. He made all the other ones.
But the one that mattered. So I'm with you. You've never wavered from that. You've been staunch.
Shout out to the late Monty Clark. Just in case Brian's going to listen to your daddy. There you go.
Okay, fair enough. I do remember Monty Clark being on an elevator with us and giving you a dirty look.
Yeah, we had some moments. We had some moments, Monty and I.
I remember that.
Yeah.
You know what? That used to be cool.
I'd made some fun of Monty on the air.
Just a quick non sequitur. I used to love the three of us doing the Thanksgiving Day games. I don't think I only did about 4 or 5 of them. They actually had pretty good. You'd always see people on the elevator. We went with Michael Vick. Vick came in one day because him and Dre Bly kind of winked. We'd see Monty Clark. Never saw Monty Hall, but we saw
Monty worked with the Lions.
He was a head coach for crying out.
No. He came back as like a consultant.
Right, he was around.
Remember when you called for Matt Millen's chair?
And you talked to me for 3.5 years.
How'd you get so lucky?
I don't know. I was very lucky.
Anyway.
Until the one day when Matt puts his big paw on my shoulder and says, Marco. Remember he started calling me Marco? Remember we brought him on and he's called me Marco? Marco? All of a sudden, Matt Milne calls me Marco. Well, best buddies again.
Well, I'll just say this. And Matt Millen did Sports Rap. So did Marty Morningwig. I had all those guys. Steve Eisenman on the show. I had all those guys. But Matt Millen did it. And he's the one who always said that he loved the Millen Man March.
He did.
He gave you credit on his football life on the NFL Network.
It's,
right? He says, hey.
That was Rob Parker.
That's right.
If you go back on the NFL Network,
toward the end of the show, the football life, Matt Millen, he mentions you because you got that ball rolling. Warning wig. Now, there's
By the way, we're in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And Fox 5 is carrying the Raiders games. Yeah. And, you know, Beth Mullins will do the play-by-play. Yes. Who's going to be doing color?
Oh, Matt Millen?
Matt Millen, baby.
Really?
For the preseason games.
So
we got to put up with Matt.
Where's he working now?
I don't know if he's working for one of the networks.
He did college football last year.
For Fox?
I think for ESPN.
But he's going to do the Raiders preseason games with Beth Mullins and JT.
You know what he's going to say? Got to put a hat on a hat.
Hat on a hat, man. Pad level. He and Marinelli with the pad level and hat and a hat.
Marinelli at the pad level.
All right, we're getting up past the fofote. Okay. So explain the fofote now, and how is fofote taking off in your world?
So it's just the finals failure of all time. And I'm basing it off of a guy at that level where you talk about Magic lost four, Wilt lost four. You know, there's some heavyweights, former MVPs who have lost four. LeBron's the first one to reach the five plateau.
Can I say the reason? Let me interrupt you for 1 second. This is because we didn't do this. Obviously, there was no social media. We didn't do this kind of talk in the NBA with Jerry West and Elgin Baylor back then. Might have been something like that back then. We didn't do it. But LeBron James, since the minute he came into this league, was all about winning championships.
Yeah.
It was not about just being okay.
And just getting there and losing.
Winning scoring titles. He wasn't supposed to do that. Supposed to win championships. And before he went to Miami, he'd only been to one and lost it.
And don't forget, what did he say when he went to Miami?
So here's a question that demands a journalistic answer. And of course, Rob, Detroit News, Free Press, New York Post,
Daily
News, Inquirer, all the news is fit to print. Here's where I'm going with that. Is LeBron not a victim of his own success? Is it reasonable to believe, go back to 2007, the first year he got to the finals, helped end the Piston era, as it were, loses to the Spurs in four with a team would have no business being there without him. Is he somewhat a victim of his own success? He averaged a triple-double in the finals. He didn't have a supporting cast.
You're right. Okay, but this is it. This is the point I made to Colin Cowherd the other day. Had he beaten...
No, it rhymes on Colin Cowherd quite a bit on the herd.
It's great reading.
Mark.
What is that again?
Do not miss it. It's Appointment Radio. Some of the most thought-provoking discussion.
And TV.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
But this is what I'll say. Had he beaten Golden State, would they have not gone crazy over that?
Crazy.
Crazy. So if it's big for him to win, it's big if he loses.
You can't have it both ways.
You see what you can't tell me if he wins, he's the GOAT, but if he loses, it's no big deal. Oh, my God, you can't expect him to win. It can't be that way. He's of greatness. That's what we saw last year. They were down 3-1. Nobody in the NBA history has ever come back from 3-1. That's what greatness is built on. You're doing stuff that no...
Right? I don't want to make this long, but this is... Yeah. All right, let me throw it out there. No, I mean, the podcast goes long as you want. I'm talking about this particular... bit of business. If I ask you flat out for your gut, give it to me. Who is the GOAT? Who is the greatest player of all time? And if we have to do that, because it seems that people have to have it.
I'll tell you. I'm going to get ready. I'm going to duck. For me, it's a young kid out of Lansing named Irvin Johnson. I'm going to tell you why. I was an intern at the Forum in 1979. He comes walking by, 6'9". This is 38 years ago. 6'9" guys don't play point guard. I have never seen a more prolific passer, a higher basketball IQ. 3 months before, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was a punchline in a movie. They're trying to get him to retire. He extends his career 12 years, and they go to the finals 9 times. With guys like Jim Jones and Mark Landsberger. Before...
The Kool-Aid guy?
I love Mark Landsberger.
Spencer Haywood fell asleep in practice. Look, before James Worthy got there, I think... Here's the thing. And finally, the one point you brought up is, can we get off the greatest of all time, LeBron versus Jordan? Okay, that ship is sailed. It can't be LeBron. It can't be Jordan. But I've never wanted to participate in that argument. Bill Russell said it best. Don't compare eras. Don't compare players.
It's what we do, though. It's
we
do.
But it's like yelling into the wind. Because the Jordan people are never going to submit. LeBron people are never going to submit. For me, which player could you not take your eyes off of that was so effective and so impactful?
You have to apologize for Urban Magic Johnson, to be honest.
And ask John Sally. You know John. He'll agree, because you know what? He played point guard. Jordan didn't play point guard.
When I look at Jordan and his greatness, aside from being 6-0 and winning all six MVPs, led the league in scoring 10 times. You know how many times LeBron James led the league in scoring? One. Led the league in steals 3 times. I could go on about his accolade, because it's not just the 6-0. It's his resume.
By the way, can I stop you at 6-0? How many times did Michael Jordan lose in the first round of the playoffs?
I don't know, 6 times?
3.
Three.
How many times did LeBron James lose in the first round of the playoffs?
None.
0.
And by the
should
way,
that not be factored in?
LeBron just didn't finish his 14th year in the league.
So it's not just 6-0, because there's 3 first-round losses.
Jordan's 14th year in the league, he was and also ran for the 37-45 Washington Wizards. LeBron puts a team on his back and gets back to the finals. But see, I just violated my own cardinal rule. I'm not going to... It's like your favorite noodle in a plate of spaghetti. But it's just not that...
But this is it. This is my last point. When you look at the differences, Mark, when you talk about the first round, because LeBron manipulated the competition in the Eastern Conference, yes, he's not going to... He's like, has he lost the first round game? You know what I mean? Because there's nobody to play, is all I'm saying. When you go back and look at Michael, the Celtics had 5 Hall of Fame. Yeah, they lost. Yeah, I can. You want to go look at the team that they lost to? And the last thing. What MJ did as far as keeping other stars from winning. Look at the guys he blocked.
I think
that's the most important.
There is no question. There is no question.
More guys. Reggie Miller, Patrick Ewing.
Carl Malone.
Charles Barkley.
Gary Payton, John Stockton. There's no question that the NBA is loaded with top 50 superstar players more than any other sport that never won anything.
Yes.
And it's not just Jordan. It's other eras, too. But Dominique Wilkins never won anything.
But I'm saying that Jordan era, he could say, I got 15 Hall of Famers that I blocked from getting a championship.
Getting anything.
That's impressive in an era.
Especially since we don't hold this banner on Reggie Miller and Dominique Wilkins and Karl Malone. We don't do this with them. Gary Payton.
What's impressive? So Jordan gets over the hump against the Pistons in 91. Why? He averaged 11 assists per game in that series. He got everybody else involved. He could put the team on his back, but that year he made everybody around him better. They get into the finals. They beat the Lakers in Magic's final swan song in the finals. They win 91, 92, 93. He retires, air quotes, goes and plays a couple years of busy year minor league baseball, comes back a year later, nothing, wins 3 in a row. Are you kidding me? If he hadn't taken those 2 years off,
he might have won 8 in a row.
He would have won 8 in a row.
He might have.
It's the Parker and the Man podcast. 2017, the summer reunion edition.
In full effect.
Full effect. Mark the Man Wilson, Bernie Fratto, Rob Parker. I want to get to Rick Barry since you said I could.
Let's do that.
Okay. Everybody heard it. I think everybody, literally everybody heard it. I think even the president tweeted out at 3 o'clock in the morning that he was listening to it. I think I got a Trump tweet about the Rick Barry interview. 7 minutes of gold, of radio platinum.
You loved it, Mark.
I want to say this first, and then you guys can go. And that is, my first dealings with Rick Barry go back to Miami in the early 80s. And I'm not going to hold back. He was a dick then. He's a dick now.
He's a Hall of Fame dick now.
Hall of Fame dick. And I had him right after his career. He finished his career with the Houston Rockets. I think he played 1 year with the Rockets. Then he had this whole thing because his alma mater, the University of Miami, had dropped basketball after he left. And he was instrumental in trying to bring it back, which it eventually did. He wanted to coach it. Naturally, it didn't happen. And Bill Foster, the former Duke coach, who I think Krzyzewski replaced.
He did.
That's how long Krzyzewski
replaced him in 1980.
Right. He became the first head coach when Miami brought basketball back. And it's back to this day. So I knew going in, as soon as I saw that Rob had a problem with Rick Barry, I was not shocked that this was... I'll even clean it up. He's a curmudgeon. And he was bad at 38. He's got to be awful at 73.
73 now.
But he just lives in a different world and doesn't think he should be on a sports show to talk about, to have a conversation about sports. He's there to give you his opinion and go home. That's what I leave.
But when you heard the sound, Mark, and he went from 0 to 100. What did you think? Were you just,
he was loaded for bear.
There was no trigger. I just disagreed with him.
I didn't know if he knew that he had Rob Parker in his mitts, in his sights, he was going to get him.
No. I wouldn't take it personal. He's always condescending.
But Bernie, he ratcheted it up.
He pulled the proverbial "you never played the game" card. Now,
how does he know Rob didn't play?
I listened to this segment, right, and I talked to Rob on the phone 10 minutes after the segment. I said, "Rob, I'm in your corner. I'm gonna tell you why. You validated him as a player. He didn't validate you as a journalist. You can't be in any business for 31 years."
He didn't know who Rob was. How did he know he didn't play? Maybe he played at a high level college.
No, he didn't even know. He had no idea.
Look, unless he knew who he was.
He was insistent that LeBron should not have. Should have passed the ball to what? Yeah, on a Tuesday night game, a meaningless game in Phoenix, Kyle Korver is the bomb. When it matters, he's not, and he proved it in the finals. Rob and I agree. It's situational. There are times you define the moment defines you. It wasn't an indictment on LeBron and from Rob's, as much as it was in that moment, this is your chance. You're driving to the hoop to make a statement. You kick it out, and it might be the right decision, but not in this moment, not in this situation.
Draymond Green has 5 fouls, Mark. Go to the basket, right? Not only could you get, you might get a foul. You might get Draymond Green out of the game for the last 3 minutes.
When you resort, right? Here's what, final thought. When you have to resort to an ad hominem attack, it says, "Rob, you're a loser." I mean, what is that? What, your mom wears army boots too? What is that? Rob's, wait a minute now. Rob gave, go, if you're anybody listening to this, go back and find those 6 minutes of gold. And you'll see Rob.
7 minutes and 7 seconds, I believe, is the total.
Good on you.
Thank you very much. I've seen it. I've listened to it 3 times.
No one ever accused me of being smart. I went to high school the full 6 years, but I did 6, 7 minutes, whatever.
Not wasted, Bernie. Not wasted a bit.
No. So anyway, Rob gave you multiple opportunities to dig himself out. And Rick Barry doubled down. And his condescending, caustic tone of voice, he didn't get his point across. And then when you have to resort to name-calling, I mean, come on.
The only thing I will say is a lot of people said that they were impressed that I got him to apologize. Because he won it 3 times.
He apologized 2 or 3 times.
Listened at the end, and he was very kind of, he realized what he had done. And he said, you're right. Maybe I did make it sound too personal.
Yeah, and that was my only thing. You could disagree with me all day. I'm a lot of things. Loser, I'll never accept that.
Look, we've had this on our show many times. We've done this for over 20 years when you count this and the various times we've gone on the thing. And we say this all the time. Anytime anybody has a problem with the questioning, with the opinions that are being missaid, whether it be Hank Aaron, whether it be Tigers insiders, Lions insiders, whatever the problem is. But it's sports talk on a sports show.
Yes, that's what it is.
We're not talking about his family. We're not taking pot shots at his parents.
I moved to Michigan in 93. Rob moved in 94. We just hit it off. We both love baseball. We've had a lot of arguments. You and I have had a lot of arguments. I've always looked at it this way. If two people agree on everything, only one head's doing the thinking. But you can have an exchange. You can disagree without being disagreeable, and all I ask is justify your position with relevant specifics, accurate information, real-life stories, not name-calling.
And this is the other part. Basketball, the only thing that you can't debate is math. 2 and 2 is 4, no matter who's doing the math. Everything else is almost up to debate. It just is.
Subjective business.
Absolutely. And, Mark, I could get he's a basketball player. I could get 10 guys who say LeBron should never give up the ball, and that's it. You know what I mean? Would tell you that and would be within their rights. They play in the NBA, and they would say he should never give up the ball. Man, take the ball to the hole. He was scoring in the paint all game. Go to the hole. Make them make a play on you.
In that situation, LeBron should have drove to the hole. Now, maybe if you replicate that situation under a different set of scenarios, maybe you pass it off to Korver. He had a good regular season. I was never sold on Kyle Korver. I didn't like him in Atlanta. When it mattered, he's Jimmy Carson. Jimmy Carson scored 50 goals for the Detroit Red Wings 1 year, and 49 didn't matter.
Well, I used to say about Joe Murphy, when the Wings took Joe Murphy would get you going when it was 5-0, either 5-0 up or 5-0 down. I always just said, I love Joe, Michigan State guy, but I used to say Joe Murphy's the best 5-0 goal scorer in the history, when you don't need it, when you're either 5 up or 5 down.
Well, and so obviously, the net result was the play didn't work, and it was worth the debate, and it was worth the position. So Rob took a position, and a guy who played the game and is a Hall of Famer, how dare you disagree with me? How dare you? and the condescending nature, and you know, we're beating it to death, I get it, but it took on a life of its own because of, you know, really the tone of voice that Rick Barry took, and his reputation.
Did not shock me, man, because I'd been there, done that, and got the T-shirt. Speaking of T-shirt, look at that set.
Nice.
Huh?
Wow.
Is there a T-shirt or is there not a T-shirt? Are we talking T-shirt?
What?
For folk?
For folk, well, you see the design. We don't have it online yet, but I'm going to have it online any day now.
So you'll be selling for folk shirts?
Yes. You'll be able to get with the crown on it. Come on, Mark.
Your own for folk.
Did it not look good?
I got a prototype.
No LeBron on it. It's just a crown, and
it's got to be someone who wouldn't be like against patents.
Yeah, no, I couldn't put his name on it.
Copyright. You get him to sign off on it, like, with, you know, when back in the day when Brian Bosworth went to Denver and said, "I hate Brian Bosworth." He's the one that put those T-shirts together.
Well, I was just holding the thing over Rob while you were talking. That made no sense whatsoever.
That's okay. That's okay. All right. Well,
you want a Fofote shirt?
I will wear it proudly. I got a Parker the Man shirt.
He'll take that. He don't want a Fofote. He likes LeBron, which is all cool.
Yeah, but look.
I want a Fofote.
Look, I've said it 1,000 times. In the shopping mall of life, sports is a toy department. All right? Yes, I like LeBron. He's one of my favorite players of all time. I tip my cap to a guy that's been to 8 finals with 2 different teams, won 3 championships. His legacy is still being written. Yes or no, will LeBron win at least 1 more championship?
No way, no how. It's okay, all
no gone. More championships for LeBron, huh? I say he will.
Will it be in Cleveland or somewhere else?
Somewhere else.
So what do you think of the rumor now that after 2018 he goes to the Clippers?
Well, first of all, they have a beautiful home in L.A.
$20 million.
And I heard Savannah's the only other place she'll go for is Southern California. So it's a big – it's a beautiful home. I mean, they don't have that because they want to, you know, don't do anything with it. They spend time there. So if ever it's going to be a place, it's going to be Southern California. You pick Clippers, Lakers, whichever one. But that's where she's willing to go. And I said this before. Look, when she's Savannah Brinson, she does what he wants to do. When she's Savannah James, he does what she wants to do. She's got half.
This is where LeBron's legacy gets muddy. Because if he becomes a vagabond and goes to L.A. and doesn't win, right? Because now, remember, it's not just about you're going to – now you're not getting to the NBA Finals because the Warriors are in your way. Now, if you make that move, you don't have the easy path that you have in the East. So now you might get knocked out in the conference finals or in an earlier round. So it's totally different, and I don't believe he'll make that move.
I don't
because of that. The competition is
you
just
think he's done in Cleveland, that's the end of it. For the next 3 months, to play five more years.
I'm not I'm not sure he's done
hold
in Cleveland.
That thought. Steal a line from your good buddy Chris Broussard. It'd be foolishness for LeBron to go to L.A. There's only one basketball. Chris Paul wants it in his hands. LeBron wants it in his hands. It wouldn't work. It wouldn't work. But could LeBron win one more in Cleveland? Maybe do they bring in a Paul George?
I would love for him to go 2 more, 3 more times and lose those 3. And then he would be 5-8. And then what would you be?
You could have the Fofopete.
Fofopete. No, I'm asking you. If he goes 3 more times, Bernie, I'm just a hypothetical, and they lose those 3, so now he would have lost 8, and he had lost 4 in a row. He's still a GOAT? Or still like?
Oh, I will refuse to participate in the greatest of all time. I will say this. You know, anybody that gets to the finals 11 times, yeah, you're right. He lost 8 and won 3, but it didn't seem to hurt Jerry West. He lost 8 and won 1.
Jerry West was never in a conversation as the greatest of all time.
Because he's the logo people think he is, because of that?
It's because he dribbled left-handed, Mark. When they came to
I got
you. It was him being left-handed dribbling is the reason that he made the logo. It wasn't based on anything else.
By the way, I'm glad you brought that up. With all due respect to Bob Cousy, I can't watch it. He dribbles around like it's a CYO league. Doesn't look good.
Cousy, when he
not
does
a good look.
Old Cousy take?
All the right hand.
Yeah, right.
Right? They got to like speed up.
Here was my thing about the greatest of all time. And I'm going to hang with Michael Jordan until the Jordan can't hang anymore. I think you got to change the game. And I think 2 guys changed this game. I think Magic Johnson, with a little help from his buddy Larry Bird, changed the game. Because I think they were 15 minutes away from folding the league as we know it. That's why I really believe it.
You know what? I remember Howard Cosell, speaking of sports, he had a segment on it that there was talk that the top 5 teams were going to separate, like the Knicks, the Celtics, 76ers. There was like 5, or the Lakers, there were like 5 or 6 teams that were going to leave the rest of the NBA and form. That's how close you're
at. Form their own league or restructure the league as we know it.
Yes.
I have to admit,
I'm biased and partial because I was an intern at the Forum when Magic came there. I'll never forget how upset Chick Hearn was. True story, Chick Hearn, God rest his soul. When the Lakers didn't draft Sidney Moncrief out of Arkansas, Chick Hearn was livid. Said, they got this kid out of Michigan State. He quote, lumbers gracefully and doesn't have a perimeter.
Moncrief was a great player.
So Magic comes through the door. They beat the San Diego Clippers in their first game. Magic runs across the floor, jumps into Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's arms.
Yeah, first win.
And I'm like, wow, you know you're seeing something. You know you're seeing a phenomenon. You just don't know what. This is October 79. They interviewed Jabbar after the game. How do you like this kid? Ah, Jabbar says, I don't think I can take 81 more of these.
Right?
The team gets to the finals. He's supposed to be 20 years old, coming fresh off a championship at Michigan State. 2 years prior to that, Everett High School Lansing State Championship. Jabbar doesn't even make the trip for Game 6. This is a very good Philadelphia 76ers team. Dr. J, Bobby Jones, Steve Wright, right on down the line. Magic jumps center, scores 42 points, triple-double.
Famous
the rest
game.
Is history, right? Comes back the next year. They fire Jack McKinney, or they fire
Paul Westhead,
bringing Pat Riley. They have a mulligan. They beat the Sixers in 82. They get swept by the Sixers in 83. Right on line. They're a fixture in the finals, and he rejuvenates Jabbar's career and a city and creates Showtime. How do you top that?
Okay, now, that's what I'm saying. So Magic is up there because he changed the game. Everybody in this room, even the people eating over here.
Say he redefined the point guard position, number one. Now, you see, Kevin, look, you got 6'9 point guards now. You didn't in 1970.
Okay, but I'm going to make an important point about Michael Jordan that never gets said. Forget the six championships. Forget the scoring titles. Forget all of it. The year before Michael Jordan came into that league, or before Michael Jordan became Michael Jordan, really, because the first couple of years with Quentin Daly wasn't a great deal with him, and Doug Collins in Chicago, until Phil took over, and he was allowed to kind of run the show. That game was not on the international level. Michael Jordan put that on a worldwide level. Magic Johnson changed the game by keeping the game around. Michael Jordan put it on the worldwide stage. Worldwide, on the planet, international.
Well,
that game was no...
Nike did.
And I'll tell you this, too.
Mike.
But Nike can thank Michael Jordan more than Jordan can thank Nike.
But Jordan was in the league 7 years before he got a championship.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Take the championships out. And because he did not have the right pieces together. Once he got the pieces together...
And the other teams were better. The Pistons and the Celtics, they had four Hall
Jordan
of Famers. They were better.
But until Jordan became Jordan, that game was not on the international level. Now, did LeBron James change the game? He hasn't changed the game. He's benefited from the game.
Yes,
he hasn't changed anything.
And this is the other part.
He's changed nothing about it.
Michael elevated it from this standpoint. And you could say it was just a TV commercial, but it wasn't.
Be
like Mike. You notice, Bernie.
Gatorade, that's fair.
Don't tell me the kids didn't play basketball. I want to be like Mike. I'm telling you that there were probably some kids who probably would have been baseball players during that time. Who shifted over to basketball because of Michael Jordan.
There's no doubt that Magic Johnson and Michael Jordan made it fashionable to go back to the playground and play that game on a mass level.
We really sort of buried the lead here, okay? Set aside athleticism.
We do love for you, ma'am? Okay.
Set aside athleticism.
Okay. Oh, that's good. Okay. We thought they were getting on us here at the buffet at the South Point.
Athleticism, championships, pedigree, and such. Michael Jordan had a certain savoir-faire with the media, and so did Magic Johnson. And the truth be told, LeBron has none of that. He's very clunky in front of the camera and behind the microphone. Kevin Durant's an interesting interview. He's articulate. He's descriptive.
He just needs a brush.
What's that?
Just needs a brush. What? He's always ungroomed. It's just a fact.
He's unkempt?
He is.
As good as Russell Westbrook does his business.
Right.
Talk about the 180.
You want to talk about
Kevin Durant?
I'm just saying. It doesn't.
I see it. We all see it. It's not a mystery.
Just
wrapped in a riddle. It's his mother's fault.
It's not important to him. You know what I mean? Like, Mike was smooth, well spoken.
The way he dressed.
He was smooth. Am I right?
Yeah.
That's Jordan. Hey, look. Before we've only done basketball. I'd like to do a couple more things. I'm glad we addressed all the stuff from the three major things from the previous couple of weeks on the Rob Parker victory train. But a couple of other baseball thing, and this is the one I want to do with mentioning the Tigers. We have a lot of Detroit people obviously listening to the podcast. We're at a critical point, and I guess the only question is, are they sellers? Are they buyers? Are they dumping this thing? Is there going to be a fire sale? What's going to happen here? I think we're all of the opinion the Tigers' run is, any chance of a run is ended. But what is the next step? Do they go back to being the 03 Tigers and being a 119-loss team by dumping everybody in sight if they can? Or where does it stand? What's the next decade going to look like with that group?
I think you're going to have two big players making a lot of money with a lot of other B-Wade players.
Kvara and Verlander.
Right, because you won't be...
Verlander's only got a couple years left, too.
You won't be able to move those guys. They're just not... First of all, even Cabrera's not... I mean, what a difference of... He's not the same guy. You know, the guy who just used to be a masher.
Well, he had a pretty damn good year last year.
No,
it wasn't that long ago.
Don't get me wrong, but I'm just saying.
And by the way, all the people hating Verlander, the guy did finish runner-up for the Cy Young a year ago, not 4 years ago.
But there were a couple of bad clunkers in there. I'm talking about years. But anyway, the point is they overpaid for those two guys. And that Mike Ilitch ain't here anymore. Just spending money like crazy. I think they're going to be sellers. I think Brad Ausmus will be fired, and I think they'll be sellers. And this will just
fired
be
before the end of the year, or at the end.
Before the end of the year. I mean,
once they're done and out. If you think they're going to be done and out,
I think.
See, in that division, they could make it phony baloney and look like they're in it all the way through September. Which I think they will be for a while.
Version of the Major League Baseball iteration. If you're a 500 on Labor Day, you're alive because of the way the wild card's set up, right? You can always.
Yeah, but it's just not a good team. I think it's fool's gold.
They're not built to win. Look,
you just said it. Mike Ilitch, who should have his own Mount Rushmore in the state of Michigan for all the things he did. When he, you know, him and his wife founded Little Caesars and right on down the line.
It could be on for the $5 hot and ready by itself. It should be on the Pizza Hall of Fame for the hot and ready.
Pizza.
Is it $6 now?
Did it go up? Did it go
up? I don't know.
You could go all the way up to $9 if you had all the fancy toppings. But
oh, man, I don't know. I gotta make a call.
Look, Mike Ilitch, in much the same way Jack Kent Cook really wanted to win a Stanley Cup. Canadian guy, bought the Kings, right? Ended up winning a Super Bowl with the Redskins, but he really wanted to win a Stanley Cup. I really think Ilitch, as much as life itself, wanted to bring a World Series championship to Detroit during his tenure. Came pretty damn close. Look how they overspent. I mean, they brought in Scherzer, Price, Fister.
I guess when you say they were very close, though, they were very close. They did get the two World Series. They were so uncompetitive. In those two World Series, you wonder how
good. Well pitched softball team. Come on, they were totally overmatched against the Giants. How often do you see those teams get a ground ball?
Cardinals do.
Rob called that. People were still pissed off. They were taking calls. Rob, you're just saying, what? I just stopped you. St. Louis is a better team. They were. Adam Wainwright was. Even Jeff Weaver.
Jeff Weaver made his career on that one game.
That one game. And Mark, the other one was, this was the one with Leland. Before game one of the World Series, we're in his pregame commentary.
Did he have the dirty socks on the smelly
food,
socks?
Right, next to his
on the desk
and,
next to his food.
And the cigarette ashtray. Right. Full of cigarette butts.
But he said that he was not going to let Albert Pujols beat him, and that he would walk
his first
every...
to bat, he hit about an 800-foot bomb to dead center. We were there.
And don't forget.
I think I just saw
two outs, a man on second. First base was open. And he had just said that he wasn't going to do that. First base is open. He pitches to him, 2-run bomb, and that.
Well, it was fun to see.
The biggest problem with the Tigers,
it was fun to see Pujols' 600th. I watched it on Fox Sports California.
Yeah, I watched
whatever.
It too.
By the way,
line.
Victor Rojas, who is the play-by-play guy, his Cookie Rojas' son, is outstanding as a play-by-play. It is a pleasure to watch Victor Rojas do his business in the Angels. I mean, because I get to see him all the time now out here. We get both Arizona and Fox Sports West. And I couldn't believe, you hear what you hear about the Detroit guys and whatever, Mario and Double D and Pricey and Rod. But Victor Rojas, top notch.
To answer your question, I think the Tigers are close to becoming a serious afterthought. Detroit's a great summer city. Summer's short, but it's always great. But the downtown complex, the Ilitch Center this year, moving with the Red Wings.
We're doing a radio show.
And the,
We are. But we're very big. Well, it's kind of live. Kind of.
And I think when football starts, the Detroiters' attention will turn back to the Lions, and certainly when fall rolls around, the Red Wings. And the new, what's the Ilitch Complex called?
The LCA, man. District Detroit, the Little Caesars Arena,
beautiful.
LCA.
Take your
queue line to the LCA. Listen to Carmen Harlan. She's the voice of the queue line.
Is she?
Yeah. She's the voice of the queue line.
Is it Carmen Harlan?
She says, stopping now at Bagley Street or whatever. Stopping now at Larned.
Harlan and Harlan Huckleby. Harlan Huckleby. Try that again, night, folks.
Be Harlan, Harlan, Harlan.
That place.
Harlan, Harlan,
Harlan Huckleby.
Hey, that's a nice tribute to her.
That's really nice.
Oh, yeah. They did a nice story on her when she was in recording them.
She got an iconic voice.
Yeah, no, that's beautiful.
I'm the Q line. I'm Carmen. I'm the queen, Carmen Harlan.
Is she saying her name?
I don't think she says it. I mean, she just... But you know it distinctly when you're on the ride, when you're on the thing.
Like Eli Zarrett's voice. You know his voice.
Can you imagine...
That's the Aldo.
It's the Q line. We're getting off at Bagley.
I mean, you know...
We're taking it to Larned.
Hey.
They ought to have one for every street, you know. You get out to about 86 Mile Road and beat Stu Klytenik.
Oh, where's Stu when you need him? She's still down in Atlanta.
And Reedy could get off of that spot.
Does it go to 89 Mile?
89 Mile, where he's
well, Van Dyke at 89 Mile.
Man, it should. Van Dyke.
We always used to give him a hard time.
I hope. Shout out to Gavin Edwards. I hope Gavin's listening. One of the most talented.
Shout out to Gavin Flage.
Flage.
All the people. You know, Flounder's got a big morning show in Indianapolis.
Oh,
he's a big time guy at the Now in Indianapolis.
Really?
FM morning show with this lovely girl, Alex. He's funny. He's hip. He does all these funny, funky deals.
Good for Flounder.
That plays games.
We love Flounder.
We did.
We love Flounder.
I think he's probably doing best of all of us, to be honest with you, the way he's going. But big morning show, so shout out to Floundy.
Indianapolis, wow.
Yep. Nothing like it, man, in the summertime.
No, well, Indiana wants me, but I can't go back there.
And the last thing I will do then, I think we can cover the baseball thing a little bit. This is so simple. We got to do a little Lions business. Since I was just ripped today for my take on Greg Robinson, because everybody thinks Bob Quinn is now the savior of the franchise, the greatest general manager in history, because he got you T.J. Lang and Rick Wagner. Wagner, who'd never made a Pro Bowl, just to let you know, and T.J. made his first just last year. I'm not ripping T.J. Lang. In fact, he bought a house, Rob, on our lake.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's on Upper Straits. He's on the lake now. So he's basically, you know, in my old neighborhood. So I'm cool, 9 years in, but it's about the offensive line, and there's other issues with that club. Now, having said that, and I did my line by line already. So I was on another show, and I asked
you. You got 7-9, 6-10?
Well, I want to hear yours, and I'll tell you what I have. I did line.
I got 6.
And when you're doing your Lions picks, don't just make up a number. I hate that, I want 11 games, I want 10 games, I go 8-8. No, go line by line to the games.
I've already done this. Let's get to the chase.
Here we go.
So I've got him at 6-10, and I think I'm being generous. Why? Okay. Matt Stafford is 4-43 as a starter against teams that finished above 500.
Well, that's a real number. That's a real number.
He's 1-21 on the road as a starter
against teams.
Ironically, it was at Green Bay last year.
These are just championship teams. This is just over 500.
Hold on. Is this thing still on?
All right,
so...
I'm looking at the thing.
Is Green Bay still in their same division?
Yes.
Okay.
That's
the Bears will be improved. They will be improved. Minnesota had a disaster.
Over John Fox's dead body.
And Vic Fangio. Minnesota will be improved. So, I think the Lions are going to struggle in their division. They got the NFC East. Don't take my word for it. Look at their schedule. Do your own line by line. And you tell me how they're going to be better. Last year, they caught lightning in a bottle. I think they overachieved last year. But when you put them on the field and they step up in class against playoff teams, they don't compete.
That's why what happened when the rest of the country... I had a big debate with Skip Bayless at the end of the regular season. And I said, dude, they will lose the last three games. They have a chance to win a division with Aaron Rodgers in their own building, right?
You were so used to doing
Mark,
this.
Mark, you know, and you know, the National, because people don't... They're like, what are you
talking
about?
They look at it differently.
They just look at the record and they go...
They like Caldwell.
Right.
They think that Bob Quinn's the next great guy.
And they got Calvin and...
Just like
Calvin.
They like Marinelli. They like Marinelli. They like Jim Schwartz. Nationally, they always like those guys.
And they look at Stafford's numbers and whatnot, and they go, what? You can't... I said, they will lose the last three games, and they won't make it. I said, what? I said, I've been covering this team since 1993. Dude, I'm telling you what, I've seen this movie before.
Look, we've seen everything, guys. We were there. An 0-16 team. We saw a coach go to overtime in Chicago, Champaign, be exact, and take the ball in overtime and win a coin flip and give it to the Bears. They march right down
the wind.
I'm hacked off.
I'm taking the wind.
Are you kidding me? What you always expect the unexpected. With the, we love the Lions. They're lovable. This will be my final word for the night. Anybody can have five off decades. Okay, I'm out.
60th year, by the way. This is the 60th anniversary of the 1957 Lions championship team. All right, here's my thing.
I think this team would kill that team, by the way.
I did a number on this.
Do you want to
take a guess how many running backs, and I will include Matt Asiata, they got from Minnesota. How many running backs have ran the football since Barry Sanders said adios to the Wichita Eagle? How many guys? It's only less than 20 years. How many running backs have run the football for the Lions?
43.
60.
You kind of split the difference. 51.
Wow, so we're right in the middle.
Yeah.
I'll never forget.
There should
August
be the same
State,
jersey Frankie. Up there for Lions running backs as they do for the Cleveland Browns quarterbacks.
Right.
51 running backs. They've never really settled on a featured back, and I still think that's been a major hassle and a major problem with this franchise.
And the one that they had, who was pretty good, Steve Mariucci botched that when James Stewart.
Well, they've had 4,000-yard seasons since Barry left. Two James Stewart, one Kevin Jones, one Reggie Bush. That's it.
But there's a new promotion this year at Ford Field. You may have heard about it. If Matt Asiata runs for 100 yards, everybody gets cheese bread.
Is that right?
Yeah.
There you go.
That's 100 yards for the whole season.
If Matt Asiata. Hey, he had 19 touchdowns as a Viking. I'm trying to find a silver lining with that guy. But I've seen that act, too, twice a year. Every time Asiata's played the Lions in the last five seasons that he's been around. All right, so I had him at 6-10 as well, and I struggled to get to the sixth win. And people are saying, "What? You're freaking crazy, man! This is 11-12 win team
every year because they just believe what they want to believe." But all right,
I'm ripping. All right, Bernie's got to go. So.
Rob, great to see you. Hey, appointment viewing and listening for Rob Parker with Colin Cowherd, Fox Sports 1, Fox Sports Radio. Check your local listings. Pick it up on the. You're moving the needle, Rob, over there in a big way at Fox Sports Radio. With entertaining, lively content, commentary. See, we've known you forever, so we're not surprised. But the
and
rest
we don't
of
have
the,
to kiss your ass.
But the rest of the nation.
We
is,
get nothing for
but
it.
The rest of the nation is getting to know. You haven't even broken out the A material yet. It's so fresh. You're starting to with some of the stuff like Fofote. Keep it up, my friend.
Bernie, if people want to get a hold of you, where can they reach you?
At Twitter, at Bernie Fratto, BERNIEFRATTO, or hit me up. Appreciate it.
By the way, if you want to get a hold of me, I'll be at the Albertsons down in Tropicana watching them spray down the fruit. I'll be doing that in the next couple of weeks. Rob Parker, where can people get a hold of you?
At Rob Parker FS1, and that's on Twitter. And you can also check me out on Facebook, just Rob Parker right there.
And don't forget the Parker and the Man Facebook and Twitter kind of shows what we're all up to because everybody retweets and whatnot. That's at Parker and the Man. And also Parker and the Man on Facebook. You can like us, friend us, whatever you want to do. We got good numbers on there, but we'd like even a few more people. And we never promote it very much.
And we'll do another podcast the next time we get together.
Yeah, and also if you want to hit us up, you can at parkerandtheman@yahoo.com. That's an email for you, too. So get all that down. See, once you put it on here, it's archived, and people can stop and listen back. That's the beauty of the podcast. Thank you for listening. We're out of here from Las Vegas. We got stuff to do, plus it's 185 degrees outside. So he's Rob Parker.
And he is the man, Mark Wilson.
He's Bernie Fratto. Hey, call me.
Let's call me. Very good. We'll see you next time on the Parker to Bad Reunion Podcast 2017. Bye.
Thanks, Rob.